started out in life, I thought this was just, life is just the roll of the dice, yes? You know, sometimes you get a good hand, sometimes you don't, right? Sometimes that's how I felt when I first started coming here. Now I look at this and I go, well, it looks like paradise to me, yes? So what we teach here is change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. So when we come here, sometimes, you know, we're blessed with people that come in and life is just great and getting better. And sometimes people come here because they want something more for their life. You know, so they want, they understand that we teach a philosophy that's so amazing that I'm going to read it for you. Oh, somebody help me with my notes today. Okay, this is from Reverend Maggie Buck from Center for Spiritual Living and Foothill Center. So it says, science of mind is a joy-filled, heart-opening philosophy. We learn that we live in a world of good, yes? That we are each unique expressions of the all-embracing intelligence that wants only our good. We believe that our thinking and our living from this positive way of being is a great benefit. We use affirmative prayer called spiritual mind treatment as our tool to create a greater expression of purpose and manifesting health, happiness, harmony in our lives. One of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves and each other is lighthearted laughter, reminding us to live life with a sense of awe, wonder, and joy. A good belly laugh is good for the body. It's good for the soul, yes? So this is why I think I'm a little bit of a card. This is why, just because you know me, it's not that much funnier. This is why I think I like Jim Carrey so much. Jim Carrey, have you heard him lately? He's amazing. He's talking about not worrying about where you came from or what's difficult in the world, but what can we bring to the world that is new, good, and fun for yourself and fun for others. When I first discovered this ability to make people laugh, you know, I had to go to my practitioner and said, people are laughing at me. And she goes, no, Judy, you're funny. There's a difference. I have to be comfortable with the response of the action that I'm putting out in the world. Do you get that? I mean, I want people to smile and I want people to laugh, and then I go home and go, oh my God, they're laughing at me. And then I had to come to the great awareness that laughter is good. That I'm a crybaby, yes, but laughter is good. I love the sweetness of life when I am surprisingly caught in a tear, that life is so beautiful that it just, I'm not even crying. My body is just like releasing joy through a tear. Does that make sense? Have you ever done that? And then I've cried I've laughed so hard that I cried. So laughter is good for the soul. And I want to tell you guys that there's something happening in this center today, in this movement, in this center, in this bigger sense of the spiritual community, because it's alive and there's activities coming. We don't even have to go search for. They're finding us. We've got Nikki who's going to do a workshop here. We've got people coming that want to do a workshop here. We've got beautiful music that is supported by consistent beautiful music. And then we have a surprise at the end that, what did I do with her card? Reverend from San Jose is going to come up. And you guys, it's evidence. It is evidence. Reverend Megan is all I remember. Reverend Megan is going to come up and do a blessing of new birth. There's new birth happening right here. How long has it been since we've celebrated a baby blessing at this center? There's new birth, and we get to witness it, and we get to be the village, being the best us we can be for the best next generation, just like our ancestors did for us. Yes? So science of mind is always teaching that God is all there is, that God is love, God is joy, God is health, God is wholeness, God is giving, constantly. Once we get to determine what it is. Is it good or is it bad? So when you change your thinking through affirmations and journals and spiritual mind treatment, you actually get to shift what you start noticing out there in the world. In the beginning, if your worldview is that, you know, it's the luck of the roll of the dice, or life is a paradise. Life is beautiful, and we get to participate in it. Sometimes in this teaching, though, that there's so many beautiful spiritual people, like myself, like you, that go from being in the secular world to where I'm making six figures and having a wonderful life to coming to spirituality and going vegan, going to India, and going so far to the other side that I think meditation, positive affirmation, only speaking of God, only looking for God is the new spiritual practice. And then I get out of the meditation and I go out in the world, and I, just the other day, this lady at 7:30 in the morning honked at me, and I looked at the mirror in the rearview mirror instantaneously and went, "What? What do you want from me?" And then later on that same day, there was a three-car accident, and the traffic was coming, and the people needed to go over to the right. So I decided to take control of this situation in my car, and I stopped what I was doing, and I honked, and I kept going like that. And the people behind me are like, "Well, what about us? We got places to go." But do you see, in one day, I went from somebody coming up from behind and disturbing my peace to where, oh, I want to bring peace and I'm going to come up from behind someone and direct it. It's just crazy to me that I can be both of those things in the same day, probably only 6 hours apart. Does anybody else do that, or is it just me? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So what I want to talk to you guys about today is that we teach that God is revealing and expressing in and through us. That we have the beautiful opportunity to become great mystics in the world. We have the opportunity to be delightful here on earth, right here in this life, heaven on earth. Yes? However, some people take it that all I've got to do is meditate. All I got to do is journal. All I got to do is sit and it will come to me. And sometimes it does work that way. But it is done unto you at the level of your belief and receptivity to it. So sometimes we have to act accordingly. In science of mind, we're called treat and move your feet. It's not get out there and run and try and chase life. It's knowing what you want, so when life comes to you, you can recognize it and go, heaven is at hand. Yes? So I think that life is a little bit like Habitat for Humanity. Has anybody ever volunteered for Habitat for Humanity? Yes? Habitat for Humanity is a wonderful organization that will build a house for you or remodel your house when you are in need of a little assistance. Life will do that. Life will give you a house. Life will provide you with materials. It'll supply you with labor, and it will even supply funding. But you have to know what you want, and you have to participate with it. If you're with Habitat for Humanity and they're rebuilding your house, and everybody's there working on your house, but every day you leave for a picnic or you go to the beach, it might be a little bit of a conflict of interest, yes? It's hard that way. But you've got to stay there and build with them and work with them so that in the completion of that, you have a sense of ownership, a sense of pride in the good work that you've done. Does this make sense, you guys? Because when you are just given something, you start having a level of expectation. Well, why won't you do it for me? You did it for me all my life. Well, you're 40 now. You can do it for yourself, right? So why won't you give me this? Why won't you do that? When you give to somebody to the point that sometimes giving will make a person lazy, and there will be a sense of expectation. And I was thinking about this with Memorial Weekend. Our wonderful people, the generation of 70, 80, 90 plus, is considered the greatest generation ever. Most of them left home at 10, 13, 12, some late bloomers, some left at 17 and 18. But most of them left, and they created a very beautiful life for themselves. Some even came from other countries at a young age and were able to create great success here in America. When it is a necessity, there's a bigger drive to go out and do, or to know what you need, know what you want, and then go out and do it. I have a friend that's very well off, and he said, "All my life, Judy, I just knew I didn't want to work when I was older. I wanted to make sure that I could retire young and enjoy my life." How many of the kids today that you know, or young people that you know today, that are still vacationing at mom's house have that kind of desire? I'm looking at this not to make anybody wrong, but just notice how things changed. When the credit card came about and you could have something without having to work for it, did you value it as much? A lot of my friends buy things on credit card, on sale, buy too much, get a storage unit, and it sits over there. Anybody know anybody like that? So when you actually participate in your life, when you practice the principles of science of mind, when you are in meditation, letting go of what used to be, letting go. If you don't like what happened in your life prior to this moment, take a breath and let it go. Just let it go. Why are you carrying something around with you that you don't like? Let it go. And then take a breath, and with that next breath, state in your own consciousness, "Now I choose. Now I choose." And you get to choose whatever you want. I did a little investigating. Okay, phone, please work with me. And I looked up some things. 10 people that did not have great success until after 60. After 60, how many of you still got gas in your tank? And if you don't have anything else that you want to do, be, or have, think about the generations that are yet to come. How can we set it up for a better tomorrow for those that come after us? Because anybody have kids, grandkids, great-grandkids? You know, there are people coming up after us, and if we can create a foundation for them that they can see that life is worth living from start to end, wouldn't that be great? So we have this man, Frank McCourt. At 66, he published a little book called Angela's Ashes. Anybody hear about that? If you haven't read the book, at least see the movie. It's incredible, that story. And we have also Mary Delaney at 72. At 72, she created 985 botanically correct cut paper flowers. Simple, right? But you know what that gave her? That gave her a place at Windsor, and she lived there for the rest of her days. Laura Ingalls Wilder, anybody hear of a little thing called Little House on the Prairie? She wrote that at 65. Estelle Getty, the golden girl, the youngest one that played the oldest one on the Golden Girls, she was 63 when she was finally noticed as an actress. I love these things because every now and then I just need to read this, because to remind me that life is worth living up to the very end, that creation is always happening. Do I wish to participate in it? If I can think of it, then it is in me to do it. Isn't that great, you guys? So with this new feeling that's coming through this center and through this particular teaching of new growth, when we look around the room, we don't look to see how many chairs are empty. We look to see how much love has showed up, and that the love is greater than the emptiness of the chairs, because it only takes one because one with God is a majority. It just takes one person with a vision and a dream and hold on to that regardless of the stumbling blocks or the obstacles that come up. And Ari, when given the opportunity to speak, what do you say? Words create, yes? So today I am grateful for and I'm thankful for all the friends that showed up and that are smiling at me, wishing for my success, wishing for the church's success, and standing in the principles of this philosophy. Thank you. I honor you. That's what that namaste is. That namaste, the goddess in me recognizes the god or goddess in you. We are not individuals. We are one life living many different varieties of ways. Yes? Some of my friends think namaste was namaste here and just rest. No, namaste is I love you and I receive the love you're giving me back. Yes? Now, this is my favorite little guy. This guy was Harry Bernstein. I don't know if anybody ever heard of him, but he was 96 when he first wrote The Invisible Wall, a love story that broke barriers. And it's amazing to me, at 96. Is there a story in you want to share? And then there's Colonel Sanders. Everybody knows good old Colonel Sanders. And he had a huge franchise that was successful, and he sold it for $2 million. He might have been able to get a little bit more for that nowadays. And there is a guy in here, and forgive me for this because I'm awkwardly trying to maneuver something I'm not real comfortable with, but there was a guy in here that ran a marathon, started running marathons at 84, and he was the first man to run a marathon at 100. Your body doesn't give up on you. You give up on your body. And you don't know what you value until you start losing it. And then when you start seeing things, then you go, oh, I wish I would have. I wish I could have. Well, right here, right now, I'm going to give you a secret. It's never too late. If we take a deep breath in, that's a new start. Take a deep breath out. Let it go. Our breath is evidence that we're still alive. There is no life without breath. So what is it that you want to have? And are you participating with that? So if I was talking to a couple of friends the other day, and we were talking about Barbie's blind date or something. It was a game. And you spun the little thing, and then depending on where you landed on the board, Barbie either went out with a college guy or a mechanic or a beach bum, or, all these different things. Well, they didn't just write it out. There were pictures that went along with the description. There are actually pictures in life that go along with what you say you want. Are you participating with the pictures there? Because if I say I want to retire on the cliff of the beach, and I want to be able to go to the beach every day, but I'm looking for homes in Arizona, how likely am I going to fulfill my dream? We have to participate physically with that which we say energetically. Does that make sense? I know it does, right? So my good old friend Tony Robbins says two things happen in people that motivates them. When times are tough and they know they have to do something, they get out and they hustle. They get out and they do what they have to do to get what they have to do done. When times are tough, right? Les Brown used to say, I only get to eat what I kill. Remember that? So you got to stay hungry, because that's what he would say. So you only, when things are tough, you know, I got to pay the mortgage. I've got to help the kid through a difficult time, whatever. As long as they're under 21, 25, maybe. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Anyway, there are things that you know you want to do, but look at what happens when people reach a certain level of success. How many of you have seen either a musician or an actress or somebody that hit success, or a sports guy, football player, basketball player, they got tons of millions. They took the elevator, because it didn't take long. They're there, and they partied it away. Has anybody ever read an article like that? So sometimes when the steps are taking, you are understanding that, yes, I have achieved and I've done everything that is at this level, and now I'm ready for the next level, and I'm ready for the next level. Oh, that's kind of scary. I go down a level, but now I'm going to go up two levels. Do you understand that if you did, and T.D. Jakes says this the best. Do you know who he is? He's a television evangelist from Texas. I think he's an evangelist. I may have just quoted wrong, but he's a pastor from Texas. And he said that if people come up to him all the time and say they want a church like you, it's a mega church. And his response is, you don't fit in my suit. If you go, how many people do you have coming to your church now? 50? And you're saying you want 50,000? That might be a little hard on your nervous system. But if you go from 50 to 150, 150 to 250, then you grow at the level of your ability. And sometimes it's a bigger jump, but most of the time, are you willing to do the little steps to get to the big goals of your life? Because if I wanted to hit that back door and I said, I'm going to jump from here to there, how many of you are going to bet that I can do it? But I can walk back there. It might take me a little bit longer, and it might be a little bit safer for those in the front row. T.D. Jakes also says, and I like this part, because he's Southern, I'm Southern, we got a little Texas wit about us. He says, there's so many people out there that want a wedding, but they don't want to be a spouse. They want the dress, they want the ring, they want the guy or girl. They want the American dream, but they go, what? I'm supposed to be home every night? I'm supposed to talk to you every day? They want the wedding, but they don't want the spouse. He said, or let me break it down for you. You want a dog, but you don't want to walk it. Now you're going to hire somebody for $15 an hour to go walk your dog. Or you want the house, but you're not willing to clean it. You get where I'm going, right? So are you praying for something that your mind has already canceled out? Are you praying? Are you asking for something? Are you asking? Are you asking for the church to grow, but you like a small church? You can be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask for a sign of hands, but if I did see a sign of hands, where would they be? The whole thing is, are you asking for something that you've already canceled out because you think you're too old, it's cost too much, it takes too much, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to have it. Yes, you're supposed to have it, because if you're feeling it, if you're talking about it, it's yours to create. It's yours to create. Now, I know that some people in this teaching have the ability to work this stuff really good. I have two friends. She brought a girl here that had never been before. The other girl had been coming for 25 years. And she invited the girl. She goes, come on, let's go out. We're going to go meet some dudes. They wanted to go out and meet a man. They wanted a relationship. And the new girl said, I'm not going out to that place. I'm not going to go out chasing it. I'm going to test this philosophy. If it works, I don't have to go anywhere. And the other person that had been in Science of Mind a long time kept telling her, you got to do something. You got to participate with your good. She goes, I have. I see myself in the relationship. I feel it's time. I know it in my heart, and I'm testing it. So that weekend, she had plumbing problems in her house. That weekend, a family-owned and operated company had their son home from college, and he went out on the call. They happened to talk. They happened to like each other. And I'll be darned if they aren't together. Isn't that great? Some of the people, it's a powerful thing. Yes, you can bring it to your front door. But in the meantime, treat